Really excited about things that are happening around here and hope that you'll avail yourself of all the opportunities here at Crosspoint. Let me pause right here before we get into today's message and just welcome all those who join us online. We're so glad to have you along for the ride. Can everybody help me welcome those that are joining us online? We're so glad you're here. Absolutely, absolutely. Honored. I want to jump right into this. To this series. My son highlighted a small group. I want to highlight a small group. I want to take a turn. I want to spotlight an individual who is a tremendous small group leader. His name is Randy Miller, and he does a phenomenal job with our landscaping, and I just give a shout out to Randy this morning. My wife came in last night, she said, that lawn is incredible. And she saw some extra stuff that had been done, and she said, we need to say something or do something. I'm just really thankful for Randy, his service, his small group. And if you want to know more about that, making a difference in that group, be sure and connect with Randy. Randy, wave at everybody so everybody knows who Randy is, okay? That guy right back there, he does this, okay? But we appreciate Randy. If you look in the dictionary under faithful, you'll see his picture. So it's right there. So we're so thankful for him. I want to jump right into this this installment here. This as we begin a new series, and this series entitled "Reply All." And let me kind of just sort of explain what that means. Back at Easter, we did a survey and we asked for some responses from you of what you would like to hear about. Many times in Scripture, Jesus did that with the disciples. The disciples would ask questions, and so they would kind of bring up the topic, and Jesus would address that. So we're giving you that opportunity to do that. That along with also, when you look at the prayer cards, you can get a theme of where people are and really where you are and things that you are concerned about. And so we kind of drew from those different areas, and it's not anything really unusual. We kind of see sort of the same results each year that we do this, and I think we all are all in this together. We're all going through some of the same similar things, and so we're going to take the next few weeks, remaining weeks of this month, we're going to do a four-part series on Reply All, and we want to just respond to that. And one of the things I want to establish as we go through, and we're going to talk about different issues, and that is that we're all in this together, and all God's people got issues, okay? If you say, I got no issues, then that's your issue, okay? We're all in this together. If you feel like, well, you know, you guys are our church people, you're all perfect people, y'all got it together, and I'm just kind of an oddball, and I don't know if I belong here, can I just assure you that we're all in this together? This is a hospital. If you just got here, we just got here a little bit earlier than you did. We're all working through this thing called life. We all have things. Nobody is perfect. There's only one perfect one, and that's his name is Jesus. And we look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith, to perfect us on this journey that we're in together. But all of us are on this thing together. And so if you feel like you know, you don't have it all together, let me just say it. I just want to make this statement. It's okay to not be okay, all right? I mean, it's okay to not be okay. But because of God, you don't have to stay that way. And so we want to give you some hope. No matter where you are on your journey, no matter what situation you're in, I want you to know that you can experience freedom and you can experience hope. You can experience peace through Jesus. And so today I want to talk to you about this topic of, and actually really I'm going to talk about three different issues that are kind of linked together, and we're going to group them as one. But I want to talk first of all in the fact that we are stressed. We are all stressed. And by the way, message notes are back. And so you're welcome to pull those out of your worship guide there and fill in some blanks and take some notes with me. We are a stressed people. In fact, when you do these kind of surveys, usually that's the number one thing you get response of, is that people are stressed. You know, what do I do? I'm under such stress, and I don't know how to deal with it. Interestingly, it's not just adults that are dealing with stress. In fact, the biggest increase of stress, people that are struggling with stress, they say is actually children that are 8 years old to 14 years of age. Can you believe that? From 8 to 14. In fact, the matter is, stress is very contagious. We as adults, we come in, we got stress, and we just transfer it right to our families, right to our wife, and right to our kids, you know, or the wife to the husband, to the kids. And the kids pick up on it. Kids are very much stressed. I was looking over some prayer cards this morning as we were in prayer and praying over the things that you respond to and filling out your prayer cards. And you'd be surprised some of the things that your children are saying and how that they're stressed and they're worrying and being fearful. And, you know, I read one here in our church now that was saying that I felt like I wanted to kill myself, and then I got better, and now I'm back feeling that way again. And so I just want to breathe some hope to you this morning. But the fact of the matter is, we are stressed. I'm going to give you some help with that. But listen to this, we are stressed because we are so busy. That's one of the reasons why we're so stressed. We are so busy. We live in a very busy culture. We have the most workaholic culture in the history of the planet right now. In fact, it was said in less than a generation ago, about 15, in the last 15, 20 years, we had said that the average work week was 40 hours, and now that's changed to 47. So really, we've added a full day to our week of work, and sometimes it's due to technology as well. When we go home, we get emails, and you open up emails, and it's work-related. Guess what? You're working again. We're not even counting those hours, right? And so, and also, we understand that people get their identity from their work. It used to be that, you know, you get your identity from your family or from God or from church or what. Now it's work. Most people are saying that their identity is wrapped up in their work. I talked to a guy yesterday, and he was talking about how that he knew this guy, and he was a mailman, but they didn't know his name. He was just Mr. Mailman, and then he said there was a, I don't know if y'all, many of you are from around this area, there used to be a guy named Robert Hall, and it was a store, and there was a guy that was representing them, but they knew him as Mr. Robert Hall. He wasn't Robert Hall, but they knew him as Robert Hall because that's just he so much identified with his work. But we're very busy. And then another thing is we're stressed. We're stressed because we're so busy, because we are busy, we are tired. We are tired. I should have gone around this morning. I asked several people, how you doing today? How you doing? And I did get some response back, tired. Didn't I? I'm looking at some of you that said that to me. Tired. I should have just went around and specifically asked every person, how you doing, just to get a little survey this morning of how you are. But a lot of you respond, I'm tired. And that's become kind of our go-to. We're tired. Our week is busy. We're busy with sports. We're busy with school and travel and everything that we're doing. We just are so busy. Now, in the South, normally we lie. How you doing? I'm okay. You know, we lie. Now, we don't even lie anymore, you know. We don't even lie. We're just tired, beat up, I'm headed, frustrated. You know, we don't even lie. In fact, sometimes you text people and they can't even respond. You know, you text people and you get this kind of response. There it is. There it is. I mean, you can't even speak it. Just what I am, you know. Or you get this one, and I don't know what they're doing to her head, but you know, I need somebody to do that to my head. I think that might help me. Or you get this one, you know, how you doing? I'm gone, I'm out. Then pull the sheet over my head. Now there's another one that's not used very often, but if you ever see this, just be sure you get this person help, because this person, if anybody ever texts you this, I'm just saying, this person needs help. Intervention, go find them, call them, go help them, rescue them. You know, they've done lost it. All right, I'm just saying, okay. Here's the deal. We are stressed because we are so busy, because we are busy, we are tired, and we're tired because, listen to this, we don't know how to rest. Write that one down. That's huge. Now, we are all these things because we don't know how to rest. That's how these are tied together. That's why they're connected, because the cause is the same, and that is that we're stressed and we're busy and we're tired because we don't know how to rest. But the beautiful thing is the cure is the same as well. Rest is what is needed. And I want you to, this is a little extra here, you can write this somewhere in your notes, but I want to put it this way. Our issue is not the presence of busyness, tiredness, or stress. Our issue is the absence of rest. It's absence of rest. But thanks be to God, who loves us enough that He offers to us the gift of rest. We're going to talk about this supernatural, spiritual gift of rest that God has given us. My prayer here is that when we leave here today, we'll realize that we're stepping into a new kind of life where, yes, there's still going to be busyness, there's going to be moments of tiredness and stress, but in that we can experience a God-given rest that supersedes all of it. I believe God can take us to a new place today where we can see a new vision of a kind of life we can have in this world and in our culture where things aren't going to magically change in the reality of this culture. I'm not giving you a pie in the sky just that we're going to cut everything out, but no, there's a promise that God's given us and found actually in Psalm 127, which says, "It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for," look at this, "for God gives rest to His loved ones." And so we can actually be followers of Jesus and still miss it. Hebrews actually gives us a warning to that. It says that God's promise of entering His rest stands still, meaning it's available. You can find rest. You can find peace. It is available. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. And that would be a tragedy. So I want to unpack and dial in on this true gift that we're talking about. Let me just break this down for just a moment so we understand this idea of rest. First of all, write this down. Rest is deeper than sleep. So sometimes we measure rest in quantity. You know, how'd you sleep? I said, well, I got about 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours, whatever. We break it down into quantity. But really, when we look at sleep, there's actually five cycles of sleep. And the deepest of sleep is the REM sleep, right? I've got a new toy up here. And it actually will... My son downloaded My Pillow on here so I can keep track of my sleep. I realize I need more sleep, but, and I have to be careful of this because one face of this.
It's 11:13.
Okay, I'll make sure Mickey Mouse doesn't come on. That's my new toy. So anyway, but it's got a sleep app on there. And we've got things that can help us with our sleep, but listen, rest is deeper than sleep. God has something more. And then rest is more than, write this down, time off. So some people think, well, and I'm a big one for this. I like this one. I believe in vacation. I believe in vacation. I mean, I love vacation. In fact, I know how many weeks until my next vacation. I know a guy, actually, every time I see him, I walk into his business, and he'll tell me 45 36, and what that is his countdown until he gets to go back to Disney World, right? And so we live for Disney World, and we plan our vacation when we get to Disney World, and what happens is when you go to Disney World, you're expecting this magical moment that's going to fix everything, but that you exhaust yourself on that magical moment until it takes you a month to recover when you get back. Am I right, anybody? And if you got kids, you know, it used to be vacations, but once you get kids, it's trips. You're taking a trip. You're just working the whole time. I mean, it's just reality. Time off, even not even vacation, but even the weekends. We're so busy on the weekends. On Sunday nights, we're exhausted. We wake up Monday thinking we're going to get some rest over the weekend and start anew and afresh, and we may be at a lower level on Monday than we were when we left work on Friday. Because we wear ourselves out on the weekend. So rest is not just more than just time off. And another thing, write this one down, rest is better than escape. Can I just pause right here and just spend just a moment here on this one? We have an epidemic in our society right now, and it's called escapism. Because we are stressed and so busy and so tired, we're looking for any lifeline, anything that can help us climb out of this area of stress. Let me give you a definition of escapism. It's an intentional detachment from the real world just to escape our lives. And I believe that's why we have such an epidemic right now of the opioid crisis. And there's an excessive use of alcohol use. You see it everywhere right now. It's just like the thing to do. Alcohol, alcohol, alcohol. Let's just soak it all in alcohol, you know. Or even pornography. In fact, pornography, there's an element of it, yes, that is an aspect dealing with lust, but it's also very much dealing with escape. It's a way to escape. One of the biggest triggers is stress. And can I just tell you, escapism, it promises a lot, but it delivers very little. So it doesn't even have to be anything that dangerous. It can be Netflix or social media or our phones. We have constantly got our phones. My wife took mine so she could make sure she could get us online. But now it's here. Actually, I could leave my phone at home. It's right here. And we're always on it, always looking, always. What is that? I mean, even if we don't have anything to do, we can't just stand and be still. We got to get on our phone. Well, what are we missing? Maybe we missed something on Facebook or on Twitter or, you know, on Instagram. And we're just constantly looking because we're looking for something that can never satisfy. That can never satisfy. So we got to understand what real rest is. It's not just escapism. It's not just time off. It's not just taking a nap or getting some sleep, and we kind of think it does. We get misguided. I remember, and I shared this before, I remember one time I saw this picture in a business, and it was of a guy, they were advertising something, but there was this guy in this canoe, and some of you heard this before, but it fits here, okay? And this guy was in his canoe, and it looked so peaceful and tranquil, and I was stressed, and I thought, man, that's what I need. When I go to Florida next time, I'm going to go to Wakiva Springs, and I'm going to go on a canoe trip. I'm just going to get it. It's going to be peaceful. It's going to be wonderful. Well, so we get in the canoe, and I get my wife in there. I get my two boys in there, and they're real little. We all get in one canoe, and, the thing, how canoes are. They rock, you know, and so next thing you know, we're standing up. We're trying to sit down, and one of my sons is pulling the younger son down and trying to grab his arms, and he's screaming, and now there's fingernail marks in my son, and he's trying to sit him down, and the boat's doing this, and all that tranquil stuff. Birds are taking flight. Alligators are running for their life. Raccoons are scrummaging out of the way. I mean, it's like, what in the world? I mean, it was, and so there's a guy standing on the dock, and we're just barely off the dock, and he's just standing there. I turned the boat around, we pulled back up to the dock, we all crawled out, he gave me my money back, and then I realized what I did wrong. In that picture, that guy was by himself, you know, and I missed that part. But I don't know about you, but when you get ready to go on vacation, everything seems to happen, you have the flat tire. Does anybody, has that ever happened to you? And you think, well, I thought that was going to give me peace, I thought that was going to give me rest. But I've had God speak to me in times. In fact, there was another time where I took a vacation by myself. I do not recommend it. I don't recommend it. I mean, I thought I'm just going to spend time alone with God. And I know it sounds good and it should be good. But I'm telling you, I was like, where's my family? Where's my life? I have, you know, and I was so depressed. And I thought, I'm still not finding rest. And I found out also when I go on vacation, I take all of you with me. I really do. It takes me days to decompress and try to really relax because I've still got things moving in my head and I can't get relaxed. And so I realized that in itself is not it. And it's in those moments that God has spoke to me and said, if you really wanted rest, you would have come to me. So I want to talk about what this means. In fact, look at Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read it to you out of the message. It says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take, and this is the title of this message, a real rest. A real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And it concludes this way, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. How many is a candidate for wanting to learn how to live freely and lightly? God's rest is available. So I'm going to give you some practicals this morning. Number one, write this one down. We rest in salvation. In salvation. Now, some of us may look at salvation, well, I thought that was just that thing that you get because God rescues us from hell. And that is true and that is good. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And we know that that's what God did for us and that it's all God's doing. But there were some benefits. There's benefits that can't be earned, but were only received in that thing of salvation. So here's what I'm saying. Salvation, we know, is not by works. It's what God did for us. Well, just as much, there are benefits in salvation that come to us that can only be received, not earned. And the author of Hebrews parallels in a scripture when Israel had a lack of faith from entering into the promised land. And he expounded on this. Look in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2 that says, For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest. As for the others, God said, in my anger I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest, even though this rest has been ready since he made the world. We know it is ready because of the place in the scriptures where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. So again, God comes to us and we find rest through salvation. And he wants to save us. He wants us to experience this thing called rest. But it's all God's doing. Sometimes, you know, like a person, we live like we're drowning. We're saved, but we live like we're drowning. You know, you ever seen a person that's drowning and they're frailing? You know, and they say you can't really save a person like that because you're going to go out there and get drowned in the process. You about got to knock them out, help them give up, and then pull them to shore. And sometimes we live our life that way. You know, we're frailing, and God's wanting to save us and wanting us to have peace. It's available. It's there. There's a rest that's available. But we're always frailing instead of allowing God to do his work. Let me just show it to you this way. In the beginning, when God created the earth, remember he created it in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rest. And each of those days, he said, he looked at his work and he did. It's good. It is good. God said, it is good. On the sixth day, he changed it up. He said, it is very good. So he looked at the earth and said, perfect, right? Nothing left to do, nothing left to work on, and he rested. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ came to do a work, and that work is perfect and is complete. It's a completed work of salvation, and there's nothing left for us to do. What that means is that God sees you and I through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, his sacrifice is enough, and he covered us. And so we rest in what God did. And the neat thing about that is we were all made on the sixth day, and we hadn't worked all week, and yet God called us into his rest. So there's rest in his salvation. There's rest. That word rest actually in that scripture means a calming of winds. So it's a calming. There's a rest that we can find in him. Let me get you to write this down, a little something extra here. And that is that how do we do this? We enter through repentance. How do we experience this rest and salvation? We enter through repentance and we remain through relationship. So we come to him. We turn from our way and we turn to him. We come into relationship. We have this place where we pray in the mornings. We pray to him, and throughout our day we have this relationship with him. And so we find this rest through salvation. Secondly, write this one down. We rest by keeping Sabbath. Which I know, now you're just going to talk to me about how I'm supposed to take one day and do nothing. But I want to tell you the principle of Sabbath is bigger than that. Exodus chapter 20, we find where God laid it out for us. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. And this was powerful to the Israelites because they had been slaves and they were looking for rest. And God was saying, you can have rest in me. In the Old Testament, it was a law, but in the New Testament, listen, I want us to see it as an offer. I want you to see it as a command, like you got to do nothing on one day. No, it's really an offer that God is offering to us, the principle of the Sabbath, to bring to us rest. Hebrews in the New Testament says this, chapter 4, verse 9, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. So it is for us. It's not for God, it's for us. And so when you look at the Sabbath, I want us to open this up just a little bit. We think, well, what does that mean? Does that mean sitting on the couch all day and doing nothing? Actually, in the Jewish culture, that's more of a holistic approach to this, that they look at it for body, soul, and spirit. They're refueling themselves. So there's a time, if you think about this, the body, soul, and spirit, there's a time of devotion or worship to God to rest the spirit. There's a time for the soul, that's the mind, will, and emotion. And so they make sure they spend time eating food and with people and maybe hobbies that are not vocational. It's not what you normally do. Something different to refresh yourself. And then the body. And we're talking about undefined space. So it's a time where there's nothing planned. Doesn't that sound good? I call my parents sometimes in Florida. They're in their 80s. And I say, what are y'all doing? Nothing. And I'll say, can I help with that? I'd really like to help with that. I mean, doesn't that just sound refreshing? So I just go sit on a porch, in the screened-in porch, on their back porch, sit in a swing, and just do nothing. I think sometimes we don't know how to pause because, again, we got to pick up our phone and we got to do something. We always got to do something. We'll get somewhere. My wife will say, we'll plan. We're going to go here, and we get here, and she'll say, okay, now where are we going? I'll say, I don't know. We just got here. Let's enjoy here before we go there, right? We're always trying to go there. We never know where there is. I don't know. But to have an undefined space where we still ourselves and just be present in the presence of God. How do we do this? Let me get you write this one down. We enter through, and we don't like this word, but through discipline. Through discipline. So in other words, we just make a decision. If I can just borrow an example here. And I hate to bring up Chick-fil-A on Sunday because I know you can't go on Sunday. But, you know, they made a decision that we're going to take a day and allow our employees to rest. And you got to make money 7 days a week. They said, no, we're going to make a decision. We're going to honor God and respect our families, and we're going to give them a day off. And no diet lemonade and no, you know, waffle fries on Sundays. But look at how God has blessed them. Over and over again, that God has blessed them because they made a decision. We need to take the time and make the decision ourselves to discipline ourselves that we're going to take some time and spend that with the Lord. Now you say, well, that sounds great, but how can I take? If you're expecting me to take one day and just isolate one day, that's never going to work. Well, if you can't do that, start by lacing it into every day. So every day, find some time to worship God. Every day, find some time to have some activity, a hobby, a moment, a lunch, a small group, some time to... every day, have some undefined space where you can be alone with God, not on your phone, but be alone with God and just be in His presence. My new phone app also has this thing of breathe. Has anybody got this thing? And so it'll alert me. It'll say, stop and breathe for 1 minute. Focus on your breathing. And I'll hit it, and it'll tune. Breathe in, breathe out. I think that's pretty good. My son says it's kind of silly. It may be, but I want to tell you, it's not silly to spend a moment with God. You know, come on, before you just keep beating your head against the wall, keep pushing what you're trying to push and doing what you're trying to do. And I know we got deadlines and things, and sometimes we don't always have that minute, but I know we can find that space in throughout our day where we can take a moment, right? And just be aware of His presence and be in His presence, right? Let me give you a third one. We rest through significance. Through significance. The scripture for this is found in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their own example of disobedience. Let me give it to you as I've heard it. Learned it in the King James. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, you might be conflicted saying, I thought you said we don't have to labor for this. It's just something God has given to us. I want to get this because there's a powerful concept in this, because this labor, I want to dig into this. This labor is actually a heavenly supreme rest that God has for us that we don't even have access to now. Now, there's a rest we have access to here, but this is talking about an access, a heavenly supreme rest. And then we're always going to have busyness, and there's going to be times we're going to be tired. But I want to understand, we need to have a perspective, and that is that it's not just about the things on this earth. It's not just about managing the stress here, right? It's not just about building wealth and buying things. And I think many times we've lost our what because we have lost our why. And the goal goes back to John 3:16. God doesn't want anyone to perish. And our goal should be that we don't want anybody to perish either. And when we have that perspective, when we understand that there's more to this life than this life, it actually helps you find in that significance. That once you catch this concept, once you get that, there's a significance in it, and there's a supernatural rest that is attached to that. So no matter how hard and how difficult it may be, you know, there's a larger plan. There is a bigger perspective that God has everything under control, and God has a master plan in charge for my life. That's why, you know, you may not be happy about everything that goes on around you, but you can have a joy, an inward joy that supersedes what you're not happy about. And some people think, well, God just wants me to be happy. Well, no, not really. God wants you to be holy, because in holiness, that means you're close to Him. You're becoming more like Him. There's a contentment. There's a peace. There's a rest in Him. In other words, there's a significance of what you're doing. It means something. What you're doing is attached to something that matters, and there is a rest in that, no matter how busy you may be. And so when I talk about resting, it's not sitting on a stump of Doolittle whistling a tune of Do Less. You can be busy, 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 but in the midst of your busyness, you can still have rest. You can still take care of the things you do. This is not about idleness. This is about in the midst of it all, there's a rest that doesn't come from all these different things. It actually comes from this place in God. And in this case, we're talking about it comes from this thing of having great significance, knowing that what I do matters, and we can rest in that. There's an attachment of peace and rest that's in that area of significance. So listen to this. The significance is this. Everything in the Bible and everything throughout life screams people. God cares about people. God cares about you. He cares about your life. And so when we live our life in such a way, we realize that it's an opportunity everywhere we look to make a difference in people's lives for eternity's sake. I want to tell you, there's a rest in the midst of that. There's a peace in the midst of that. It makes sense. It's what's stressful is when you're doing something and you don't get the why. And you say, why am I doing this? Why am I taking this class on campus? It doesn't make any sense. I'm not going to apply this to my life. When you understand the full picture and the big, large perspective of what life is all about, listen, there's a contentment in the middle of that. And we have an opportunity of living that kind of life. Write this down, if you would. We enter by attaching God's purpose to our position. So this labor we're talking about in this is actually we're working to make a difference in other people's life. And we enter that by attaching God's purpose to our position. So we're not talking about having a career change. You know, I gotta cut this out and cut all this out. And I mean, there's some of us, when I talk about getting rest, you say, I have no choice. I remember my sister one time to me, she said, your life is filled with stress, this, that. So what are you going to do about it? And I looked at her and I said, I really don't know what I can do about it, because I can't change this and I can't change that and I can't change this. There's certain things I couldn't change. Now, I could have quit everything, walk away from everything and everybody, but I don't think that's what God's purpose for my life is. So while you're in the midst of it, how can you find that peace? So we're not talking about necessarily having a career change and dumping everything off. No, I understand we're in this real world. I'm speaking reality here. But God's purpose, listen to this, for our life is people. And living a life of purpose that God has on our life brings peace upon it. So we're working hard, but yet we're at rest because, listen, it's all about people. It's all about people. And by the way, I get excited about this. I get extremely excited about this because, listen, I'm a people person, okay? I just love people. But I think that's the heart of God. I think it's a heart of a pastor that he's given me. But I just love people. I got so excited the other day just telling Kim after one opportunity that we have. The problem is we just don't recognize them. We're so filled sometimes with our own stress level. And we're looking inward. And God's given us a significance to our life to make a difference in somebody else's life. That's where we find rest. Come on, there's fulfillment in that. There's satisfaction in that. I'm going to find some satisfaction Tuesday. Anybody want to join me? I'm going to be out here in the parking lot. And people that are parking on our lot, I'm going to be handing out free ice cream. Anybody park here? You want to park here? I'm just saying. and you say, well, that's kind of silly. No, I just want to make a difference. I want somebody to know that God loves them. I want to do something extra so just to let them know that God loves them. There's so many opportunities, simple things like that. We've been to the Greenway, and just our small groups have been to the Greenway on serve day and just hand out a water. You know, just have coolers. Hey, thirsty, have some water. People are putting it on social media. That was the nicest thing. Or they found, we put actually just an ice chest there one time, a cooler there with just a sign on it, cross point, take one. People took a picture of it, put it on social media. Wow, this is awesome. Listen, you work with people every day. You can impact people every day that you work with. They're right there around you. People are hurting. People need God. Listen, there's a rest in that. There's a satisfaction in that. It'll bring your stress level down when you do that. And I know some of you thinking, no, I just need a pet. I need a dog. I need a hobby. I need a shopping list. I need something that's going to help me kind of escape from all this. No, you don't need that. I came in last night. My dog... I got a poodle dog. I'm sorry, guys. Yes, I got a poodle dog. All right. And a miniature poodle dog. And he comes up. And I mean, he is the best greeter in my house. I told him, I'm going to put a sign on you. You're going to put you on the door and teach people how to greet people in Jesus' name. You know, he's just great. And when I get him and I rub him, and he's soft, and my stress level just goes down. I think God did something when he made pets. I love my dog. But can I tell you, that's not the cure. It's not a dog. Come on, turn it around. It's God. It's God that we need, right, in our life. And when we realize what we're doing and how it makes a difference in somebody else's life and how God is using us, listen, everything changes. Let me give you a scripture for this. In Revelation chapter 14 and 13, let me conclude with this, and then we're going to pray. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. And so there's a rest that we're going to inherit one day in heaven as we have served the Lord and labored for Him to make an impact in this world. I'm excited about being a part of that. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning, and I want to just give an opportunity for some of you. You may need to discover the rest that's found in salvation. And I want to lead you in a prayer, and then I'm going to pray a second prayer just to pray for those that you're just going through stress and you just need peace. You need some rest even today. I'm going to pray for you. But if you're here today and you've never really had a right relationship with God, or you did and it's not where it needs to be, can I lead you in a prayer? I'm not going to embarrass you or have you stand or come to the front, but I want to tell you a rest and your peace and fulfillment, satisfaction, is all found in a relationship with Jesus. And that's available today. So if you're in this house, you know that you need to pray this kind of prayer. You need to make a decision today. You need to allow Him to come in your life. Settle you. Some of us are running on the inside. God wants to settle us. Give us peace. Make all this thing of life make sense again. I want to pray with you today. If you're watching online, I invite you to pray with us as well. But if you're in this house, you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? Again, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just, while heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, would you just slip up a hand and say, Pastor, when you pray a prayer, would you count me in? Yes, good job, awesome. Yes, yes, good job, yes. Yes, great, great job. Hands are going up. And can I lead you in a prayer right now? I'm just going to help you with the words. All you got to do is just mean it. We just have everybody pray this for encouragement out loud. Come on. Just say, Jesus, today I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for my mistakes. Today I turn from my way to follow you. Come inside. Heal my heart. Make me brand new on the inside. I'm going to say it this way again. Today I give you my life. Thank you for dying for me to pay all of my debts so I could be free and experience peace and rest that's found in you. Today I accept you. Come on, say it the biblical way. Say, I declare you the Lord of my life, my Lord and my Savior. I accept you now. And with all of my heart, I'll follow you as you help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate those that prayed that prayer today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And let me pray for you today if you just need rest in your spirit. God, I thank you that you're the God of peace. God, you're the God of rest. You give rest, supernatural rest that supersedes anything that we're going through. Lord, I pray that you would bring a peace that defies the circumstances, supersedes everything that's going around us, God. Maybe that nothing changes on the outside, but everything can change in this moment on the inside, God. And I pray for an impartation of your peace to come even now. Oh, Prince of Peace, you said, a peace I leave with you, a peace do I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I to you. God, there's a peace, Lord, that's not based on our circumstances. It's from heaven above. So I speak that peace to homes, to marriages, to relationships. I speak that peace to hearts and minds and bodies in the mighty name of Jesus. We speak your peace, Lord. Lord, let your peace rule and reign in our heart, God. Jesus, Prince of Peace, sit on the throne of our heart, God. Be the Prince of Peace in us, God. We thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for it. Now, Lord, make us peace speakers. Lord, make us peace speakers. God, when we speak in the mighty name of Jesus, God, we'll bring peace to others, that they'll come to know you, Lord, and their life will be changed forever, God. We'll give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. We receive it in faith now, in Jesus' name. Amen.